Stand with me and turn to God's word in the Gospel of Matthew. Say that with me, Matthew. And before, and go to Matthew chapter 28 as you stand with me. I want to tell you a story. You ready? Say ready. There was a boy named Kikai. And Kikai woke up every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he would take his surfboard down to the beach, and he would surf every morning at 6 o'clock. Kikai loved to go surfing, right? Well, there's another story that there was a girl named Leilani. And since Leilani was a little girl, she loved dancing the art of hula. And when Leilani got older, Leilani became an instructor of the art. So she began teaching others how to dance the hula. And then the third story is about a grandma named Rosita, all right? That's the name of the grandma, okay? And the Rosita loved to spoil her mo'opuna. Now, some of you grandparents here don't know that, right? You don't spoil your mo'opunas in here, right? But that she loved spoiling her mo'opuna. That was her life. That was her energy. And as we look at these three different stories, they have one theme in mind. They were passionate about something or someone. Can I get a witness there? What are you passionate about this morning? What fires you up? I mean, what makes you want to wake up early Sunday morning and come to Ohana Church on 1967 Kino Ole Street? I mean, what drives your passion? Okay, I love those spiritual answers. Amen. But the reality is, we all have a desire and a passion that motivate us, whether it is Christianese or whether it's not Christianese, if you know what I'm saying. We all share something which is passion. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about ordinance. Say that to your neighbor, ordinance. And it basically means something that has been ordained to practice. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at the ordinance this week at baptism, next week at the Lord's Supper, and then finally an ordinance of vision. Where are we going in 2017? You know, because some of us, we made resolutions, right, on January 1st. How many of you, if you would be so honest to say you've already failed your resolution, right? Be honest. Amen. All you perfect people in here, because you probably didn't do one. Well, today I want to look at the biblical understanding of baptism. There's a lot of people that practice Christianity, but don't know why they're practicing and what they believe. So I feel that it is time for us to just go down in God's word and see what God's word says about baptism. Turn to chapter 28 of Matthew. It says this in verse 16. Jesus makes these words and says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him," they, say those words with me, "worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus had said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore,'" and say those words with me, "'and make disciples of some nations.'" God, thank you for the correction. Pull the leg. All right. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God, we need you right now. We don't need more amen corners. We need you, God. We don't need more fake Christianity. We need you, God. So God, help us to identify what baptism means theologically and how that is applied from that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And God's Ohana says, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Here are three wrong views of baptism. If you're ready, say, "I'm ready." Yay! The first one, people believe that they must be baptized in order to be saved. I must be baptized in order to be saved. Now, we'll look at the text on how it addresses this wrong misunderstanding. But as we look at this, many people have been baptized without knowing the context of baptism. Number two, here's another misunderstanding. I must be baptized as an infant to be saved. There are religious organizations that feel that if they baptize their children, that their children is protected by God and therefore they are saved. And the Bible does not teach these two criteria ever in the scripture. That is why theology is important. That is why the preaching of sound doctrine is important. I would encourage you that if you go to a church, make sure they preach sound doctrine, not just feel good feelings and signs and wonders and visions that don't line up with texts of scripture, but that preach the truth.
Yes, amen.
And this is what we understand. Truth hurts. Truth don't feel good. Truth don't sound good. How do I know? Because if you've been ever corrected in this room, there's been times where you don't want to hang out with that person that corrected you anymore, right? Because truth hurts. Number three, I must be baptized multiple times to stay saved. Now, being a kahu in Hawaiʻi, my hometown, for the last 3.5 years, this has been the biggest practice of all. Some of you inside this church would admit that you've been baptized 20 times, and you're still the same rotten old bugger you was before, right? Hallelujah. Right? I know we laugh in that, but the reality is that's the truth. That you've been baptized so many times because you don't know what baptism is from a biblical understanding. So I want to give you three biblical truths about baptism, and then we get pow, okay? That's good? We'll be pow. Number one, baptism publicly declares my relationship with Jesus. Say that with me. 1, 2, 3. Baptism publicly declares my relationship with Jesus. Christianity is not about what you do for God. Because in and of itself, you will always fail God. How many of you have failed God this morning? Right? Thank you for being honest. All right? Here's the reality. We fail God because we look at God. What do you want me to do for you today versus Jesus? What are you doing in me today? Two different directions. And here's the word we get from our translation of text. Go make disciples. This presents a position of relationship. There is no fellowship apart from relationship. How I know? Well, you try get husband and wives, you try not have fellowship with one another. Will there be any relationship? No. Now, going on social media and venting to one another is not fellowship, okay? You're like right across. You're sitting on this couch. He's sitting on that couch. That is not true fellowship, right? This idea of fellowship is this idea of true, genuine relationships. And the Bible says, go make disciples. Jesus says that. And if Jesus says that, we need to model that in the idea of a relationship. Here's a reality truth for all of us. Christianity is centered on a relationship with God through Jesus. Like, if you think Christianity is about what you do for God, you missed out on proper theology. Because the only thing you bring to the table to God is the sin that was necessary for Christ to die for you for. Are you with me? We all have this sin that separates us from God, but in God's sovereignty through Jesus, he says this, Christianity is not what you do for me, it's what I do in and through you for the glory of my Father's name. So when we are baptized, it reveals what Christ has already done for you and through you in salvation. This is what must happen. You must be saved first before you get baptized. And that's what addresses the whole idea of being baptized 20 times, is that many of us have not been saved yet. Like, we may have heard the word of God, but we've not surrendered to his will, to his lordship. We've just come to church on Sundays and played church.
Woo! Hallelujah.
And that right there should break your heart. We should be a fellowship that is in desperate need for Jesus. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 3. He says, whoever believes in the Son, say that word with me, has eternal life. It does not say whoever is baptized has eternal life. It says whoever what? Believe. The word believe in the Greek language means this, pisyo'o. All right, and pisyo'o really literally means this. to trust in him.
Yes. Yes.
So as we look at what Romans says about baptism. Baptism says this, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, say that word with me, we too might walk in newness of life.
Yes.
So I believe proper baptism is immersion. So now, I believe Jesus saves, but the way we identify our relationship with God is also through what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. Jesus was crucified on the cross, but then he was buried in the dirt, in the ground, but then he rose again on the third day, right? That's simple theology. We all believe that in this room. Well, many, most of us. Well, what baptism does, baptism reflects the crucifixion and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Are you with me? So I believe when someone is sprinkled, all right, that's not proper baptism. When water is poured on an individual, that's not proper baptism. But again, I would say this, baptism does not save you, Jesus does. There is more significance in our Savior and Lord than baptism, but baptism reflects our Savior and our Lord. Are you with me? So I'm with you. Here's number two. Baptism publicly introduces Jesus to those who don't, Baptism publicly identifies me with the family of Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Bruh, if that don't throw your socks off, I don't know what. I've been in the South, so I get all these sayings now and all that. But the reality is, you're identified through baptism with Jesus, and now you're identified with Jesus' ohana, and that's what's going on when you're baptized. This is a critical truth for all of us in this room because Jesus is speaking to a group of people who belongs to his ohana. When Jesus says, go make disciples, all right, he's talking to his family, all right? And not only that, he's not talking to his family from the idea of, if you have time, all right, when you can put me in your schedule, Hawaiian, can you go make disciples for me? He's not talking like that. He's talking in an authoritative voice that says, if you have a relationship with me, it won't be a problem for you to be with my family.
Amen.
Are you with me? Here's a reality truth. You can't associate yourself with Jesus, but not associate yourself with the same people he died for and united together.
Amen.
Are you with me? Like, there's a lot of people say, oh, Jesus is cool. He's my homeboy, but I don't need to go to church on Sundays. I don't need to gather with that church thing that's going on. You can't help but gather because you belong to Jesus. So one of the things that I see a lot in this context, and this may step on some of your toes, there's a lot of people that's hopping from church to church to church. But the reality is, when you look at the scriptures, people were committed to a local church family. So some people may be at Ohana Church today, then they're going to hop to the next church tomorrow. They're going to have the next church on Wednesday. Now, and that's not just for Ohana Church. That's for the other great churches too. We want to make sure we understand from an ecclesiology, church background standpoint, that God didn't die just for you individually. God died for also those who belong to him, his family. Here's the challenge. You guys ready? You need to be connected on Sundays. You need to be connected on Sunday. Now, all gatherings matters, but if you could pick one thing because of your busy week, I would tell you to point yourself to what we have on Sundays. But secondly, you need to be connected in a community group. What is community group? It's our style and fashion of a small group, a Bible study group, and we're going to start kicking that off next month. And that's what baptism does. Baptism not just identifies us with Christ, but also the body of Christ. Are you with me? All right. So some of you have come to church and you said, man, I've not been connected in 7 years. Well, God taught you some things in those 7 years that make you want to be connected now. That's the reality. Some of you have been going from church to church and you can't find a church home. And some of you have found it. Some of you are still looking for it. Here's the deal. Ohana Church is not a perfect church. Ohana Church is not the only good church. All right. And all that. In fact, there's a lot of things we still got to work on as a church, Ohana, in leadership, in strategy, in vision. We're not perfect. But any chance, I'm going to tell you who belong to Jesus in this room, get connected with a local church. Stay there. All right. Here's one. Here's some excuses we see about not being connected. Number one, I'm too busy, right? I want you to think about that excuse. When you say, I'm too busy, and let's put that on the penal substitution atonement of Christ. And Christ says this, Brian, I'm too busy to take the cross for you today. Uncle Lloyd, I'm too busy to be buried for you today. Ulamica, I'm too busy to be raised for you today. Let's put that excuse with us, right? Lord, God, I can't come to church today. My baby is screaming. God, I can't come to church today because pastor's going to preach truth, and I don't want to hear that today, okay? I want to feel bubbly today, right? Hey, I want to feel bubbly too, amen? But that's the reality. We make excuses that don't reflect what baptism reflect. Here's number two. I'm too sick. Last night, I had the flu, literally. Just, you know what happens with the flu, right? I'm feeling it all. They put a chair up here for me just so that people don't think I'm a Pentecostal and I fall back and, you know, slain in the spirit. No, they put a chair so that I can still preach today if I feel sick and all that. Here's the reality, okay? The best place to be when we're sick is right where you're at. Because this is why theology is important, because we look at the church, listen to me, at just a feeling good emotional context. When it goes deeper than that, you know what the church should be? The church should be a labor room of believers in Jesus that need healing. Like if you're sick, this is the place you need to be. Why? Because the word is preached. Why? Because worship is presented. Why? Because where there is spiritual medicine, all right, is right here. Now, I heard daddy say that all my life. But me being like daddy, I don't want to listen to daddy, right? But the reality is, if you're sick, this is the best place to be. Now, that goes beyond a Sunday context. For instance, we have leaders in this church. We call them Mana'o team and staff team. And when they are sick, we send the Mana'o team out to pray over them, to lay hands over them. The best place to be is with God's Ohana. Why? Because baptism publicly identifies me with the family of Jesus. I mean, look at this text. He's speaking to James, Peter, John, Thomas, Andrew. The list goes on. Why? Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, right? Women and all were present. And this is what we see. We see a family of God represented. Why? Because Jesus said, go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in all nations. This is what it said. Listen to me. It said, go make disciples first before it said baptism first. Because salvation begins with discipleship. Baptism is the result of disciple making. So my goal is not to have a big church. Seriously, my goal is to make disciples. If that is just 12, if that is just 50 of you in this room, praise Jesus. Why? Because his church is much bigger than my church. Are we on the same page? So be reminded of that, be encouraged about that, and know this, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you, and his best is for you, listen to me, through his sacrifice. But what are you sacrificing? Here's the last truth. So quiet this morning. Baptism publicly introduces Jesus to those who don't know Jesus. Now, salvation was never made just for you alone, all right? We call that hoarding, right? Anybody watch that show, Hoarders, right? Or you go in there and you see this big Momona auntie in there, and like you cannot walk. I don't know how the auntie walked through there when it gets stuff all over the place, right? That is just like us with salvation. We hoard our salvation and we don't come to the reality that God didn't save us to store us, right? To keep it to ourselves, but God saved us to spread his fame and his name to the ends of the earth. Today, as I speak, We have partners all over the islands, in the mainland, as Kahu Marcus preached last week, also in Japan and in Southeast Asia, in a country, I can't say the name because it's a communist country. We have people there making disciples through your investment. Why? Because baptism publicly introduces Jesus to those who don't know Jesus. If the gospel just stops here in this facility for Ohana Church, we are disobedient and we're preaching false doctrine to a holy God. God has called us not to just store salvation, but to spread salvation. Why? Because salvation wasn't just for you. Go make disciples. He's speaking to a plurality of people. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Nathaniel, the list goes on. Mary, go make disciples. Here's a reality truth for all of us. Look at this. It's one thing to make disciples in Hilo, but to advance it to Japan and Southeast Asia is truly a mission worth living and dying for. That's why this year we're going to take a few mission trips. In March, Brian and I are going to take a vision tour in Yokohama, Japan. And we're going to partner with IMB missionaries that allows us to engage and canvas that city with the gospel when 99.5% of people in the nation of Japan is without Jesus. But we're concerned what we're going to post on Facebook after this. But we're concerned more on, you know, the person next to me rather than the souls that are dying daily without the living word of God. Like, you got it good. You got it perfect. Why? Because you don't live in a persecuted nation. There ain't people coming through these doors with their guns and killing us for the cause of Christ. And if you don't know that that's not going on today, you don't know Christianity. You're too sheltered from what true Christianity is. And then you're getting more concerned about things that don't matter when it comes to eternity. We must advance the gospels to people who don't know the gospel. Starts here in Hilo. Mark 16 says it this way about the Great Commission. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized, let's stop right there. What word is first in that text? Believes, right? The word believes, right? Someone must believe first, then baptism is the result of belief in Christ Jesus. It says this. Will be, say that with me, saved. But whoever does not believe will be what? Condemned. That's the truth. In my area of work, not everybody will receive the gospel. Not everybody will trust in Christ. They will blame God for all their issues. And that's the reality because the way we are wired, we are complainers more than anything. We are. Why? Because we are self-centered. That's our flesh. But when we are gospel-centered, when we believe in Jesus, then it's less of me and more of Jesus. Now, listen to me. When I say we, I'm talking about myself. I'm self-centered. I'm egotistic. I'm prideful. But I know this. I'm not the same Hawaiian that I was 13 years ago. Why? Because of the gospel. The gospel is what changed. So that being said, I want to give you three warnings of an unhealthy church. Like, we should not base our healthiness on the numbers that come in. Okay? No, for real. All right? Because they said, even we see that even Jesus said in Matthew 7, listen to me, he says this, that more people will walk the broad, easy path and will go straight to hell than those who walk the narrow path, which is hard, that leads to life. I say this to you because you need to know truth. That's the reality. What are you walking today? What path are you walking? Are you walking the broad path? Are you walking the narrow path? Are you walking the easy way or the hard path? Way. Here's, it's easy for face value to see who's doing that, but the reality is that's between you and Jesus. Amen. But fruit will be revealed if you're walking the narrow path. Here's three warnings of an unhealthy church. Number one, no first-time visitors are attending anymore. No first-time visitors are attending. If we are influential, if the gospel is for all people, then new people must come into. Does that make sense? Yes. Number two, here's the second warning. No new leaders are being raised up. We have the same leaders. Look, I'm okay with being a 50-member church if new leaders and new faces are transitioning in and out. But they're transitioning in and out on a healthy scale. That we're sending these five to a different church somewhere in Japan because they need to advance the gospel. Does that make sense? But if we're just splitting, going to the church right down the road because you don't like this style versus this theology, then you have a big issue with Christ. Like, the only thing we should split on is sound doctrine. We shouldn't split on what style of music we're playing. We shouldn't split on what kind of carpet is on the ground today, or lack of. We shouldn't split because we're playing more contemporary music than hymn music. That should not be a split. That's all methodologies. Listen to me. Times gonna change. With times come different methods. But theology remains the same forever. Are you with me? Last one. No global partnership is in effect. You know what's kind of funny? In my 10 years, the last 10 years of ministry specifically, listen to me. We have a lot of these non-denominational church that tag on the term international church, but the farthest of their international is Hilo. Like, we cannot be a church that just says, oh, we want to reach the nations versus we are in those nations reaching it. Are you with me? There must be such a love for the gospel that when we baptize people, it reveals our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God's family, and listen to me, showing other people that don't know Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a reality truth. Baptism allows us to measure God's mighty hand through Ohana Church. If we want to measure something that's healthy, whose lives are being changed? Therefore, who is being baptized because of Christ through salvation? So here's my question to you. For those of you who have not been biblically baptized, because you do know, let me say this number, you do know Christmas Sunday, 17 people responded for salvation to the gospel. You do know that, right? 17. Thank you, Uncle. You're the only one that understands that. 17. Let me say it again. 17 people got saved on Christmas Sunday here at Ohana Church. Can I get a witness? Well, they need to be baptized. They need to reveal Christ in them, the hope of glory. Here's a reality truth for all of us. We are more concerned when it comes to baptism about where and how we will be baptized versus why we are getting baptized. Some people are so much concerned. Well, I got to get baptized, not at Hilo Bay because it's dirty. No more flow in there anymore, right? I'd rather get baptized at Carl Smith because get flow, better flow. And I'd rather get baptized in a baptism behind me because, you know, that's how all the churches are doing. Look, it doesn't matter how you get baptized outside of immersion. All that matters is why you're getting baptized. And here's my heart. You're getting baptized because you're proclaiming that you belong to Jesus. You belong to God's Ohana. And you want people to know that they can belong to him and the Ohana as well. And this is how I would end it. You ready? This is my wedding ring finger. Oh, ring. This is my finger. Okay? Are you with me? Roger, all you good saints out there. Listen to me. Does this make me married? No. It's just a symbol that I belong to Deborah Lane Tomaselli. It's a symbol, right? If I didn't have it, all right, I'm still married to her. Why? What makes me married to Deborah Lane Tomaselli? The covenant relationship, when we said I do to one another in front of God, in front of people, that covenant, that witness covenant, makes us married. All right? Well, how does this relate to baptism? I'm glad you asked. All right? You ready? When we are baptized from death into life, we let the world know that we belong to Jesus. Now listen to me, listen to me. Baptism does not save me. My covenant relationship with Jesus saves me. Therefore, when I'm baptized, it reveals my covenant relationship with Jesus. Some of you need to be baptized. Some of you will even say it spiritually or methodly. You guys need to put your wedding ring finger on. Why? Because you are being the opposite of what Christ said in his text about making disciples. If we make disciples, then the result of making disciples is seeing baptized believers, all right, practice baptism. Why? Because it reveals our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with his ohana, and telling the world that they can belong to him too. Are you with me? Bow your heads.